Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. In this module, we'll talk about programmability inside of DocumentDB. And when we talk about programmability, we're really talking about the ability to create stored procedures, triggers, and user-defined functions. Now, I'm going to assume that you already have some familiarity with these terms, but essentially, I'll give them a quick recap here. Stored procedure is just a method or a series of SQL statements, in the case of a relational database management system, that is executed. You can call it from your client code in order to execute logic or to perform multiple writes all within the context of a transaction. It just keeps some of the logic of your application closest to the data store. You can debate whether that's a good idea or a bad idea, but it's available and many people use them. In relational database management systems, sometimes database administrators only give permissions to stored procedures or views, not to the underlying tables themselves, and it gives it a sort of a public API that people within the organization can use to access the database. So it gives database and managers a little bit of control. In the context of DocumentDB, it doesn't really work that way, but it definitely gives you the ability to procedurally process data and then go ahead and insert it inside of a document, or to modify a document or delete a document, whatever the case might be. There's also triggers, and these run either before an insert, delete, or update operation, or after one of those operations. So just kind of an automatic thing, a cleanup. Maybe if you're deleting this record, then search around, make sure there's no remnants of that data anywhere else, and delete those out if they're found. And then finally, a user-defined function is something that you would use in line in a SQL query. So it might be something, the canonical example is to calculate tax. You can pass in basically the current state or city state zip code into a user defined function, and it'll return back a tax rate. You can do that all from right within your DocumentDB collection. You don't have to farm that out to some other C# code or Node.js code or whatever the case might be. It's really, again, close to the actual data store, and you can use it in any SQL queries that you write. And of course, the best thing about all of these is that you can write them using JavaScript, not Transact SQL or some other programming language, which allows you to be more expressive, in my opinion. It also allows you to a greater degree of logic control, and you can iterate. It's not easy to do those things with Transact SQL, definitely possible. But JavaScript, if you're already a programmer, this is going to give you the confidence to go in there and create really strong, powerful stored procedures and triggers and such. All right, so you definitely want to take a look at this web page. It kind of is the definitive source for the rationale behind the programmability decisions that the design team did whenever they allowed them. It also shows you, using the Node.js SDK client library, how to create these and then execute them. Now, unfortunately, I'm not a Node.js guy, so some of this is lost on me. Maybe it'll be helpful to you. However, there are some things in that document that are helpful in our understanding of what you get out of the box with stored procedures, triggers, and user-defined functions. First of all, everything is executed as an atomic transaction. So atomicity is a big deal. In a relational database management system, you may need to write to three tables, and if any of those writes fail, then the whole write should fail. It shouldn't write to any of those three tables. It should roll back those writes. And so anything that happens inside of a DocumentDB, stored procedure trigger, or user-defined function, if there's an error, everything gets rolled back out and an error gets raised out to the client. So that's kind of a big deal. You don't want, and this is to protect your application from inconsistent data, where some writes happen and some writes or updates or deletes don't happen, and now your data is in an incomplete state. And then also you can work in batches. So the example I gave earlier was you have 1,000 JSON documents and you want to insert them in your database. Perhaps you would send them to a stored procedure, which would do some some checking against each of the documents to make sure it was in a proper format, or you do some error, some boundary checking, or whatever the case might be, some validation before you actually then do the insert. But you can work in batching as well as individual documents one at a time. All right, and I thought it was interesting and important again to emphasize that all of these programmability features are actually stored in collections, as you can see from the diagram here. Not only do you store documents there, but they're also all of the stored prox triggers and user-defined functions that kind of that make sense to group together within a given application context all belong inside of a collection. Okay, so you know, we've referenced this code several different times already, but there's a whole project that's devoted to server-side scripts, and so it'll show you how to create stored procedures, user-defined functions, and triggers from C# using the client API. And you can see in this run demo async method, it kind of is, again, that script, and it will call out all these little helper methods, like run a simple script, run a bulk import, run a count, and things of that nature. Create a UDF, create a post trigger, create a pre trigger. Essentially, notice what it does here to run the simple script. There is a JS folder, and it has a bunch of JavaScript files stored in it, and we're just gonna load one up. We're going to create a new stored procedure object, passing in the script file name as the body. We'll also give it an ID, a name. We'll want to delete it if it already exists. And then we'll go ahead and create that stored procedure. Next up, to test it out, we create a document. And then we call this execute stored procedure async, giving it the self link to that stored procedure we created, and passing in an argument, and we get the response and print it off the screen. Now, the only way currently in the preview that I know of to actually create these stored procedures, triggers, and user-defined functions is by using one of the client libraries. There's no user interface that I'm aware of that allows you to do this like there would be if you were using SQL Server Management Studio to create these sort of programmability features. But I'm sure that's coming. I can't see a scenario where they would force you to only write C# or Node.js or Java code to actually create these things. But I would encourage you to take a look through this sample and to see kind of the process here. Again, it's basically just loading up some JavaScript that you've written, calling the create stored procedure async method, and then whenever you need to use it, you actually call execute stored procedure and you pass in any of the parameters or other information that it needs to work. Now let's take a look at this simple script and let's take a look at what a stored procedure looks like in JavaScript. So it's basically just a JavaScript function. It has an input parameter and a name. Since it's running in the context of a collection, we're going to get that collection, a reference to it. And then there's an API that we can work against. In this particular case, we want to call the collections query documents method inside of this collection using this SQL statement. And then here's the callback function, and this is common in JavaScript, that should be executed once the result is returned. It's doing a little error checking here. If there is actually a result, then it will use the collections getResponse method, and then it will append the body to that, and then it's going to append some information to the response. So it'll take that prefix that was passed in this case, I think we passed in the word hello, and then whatever is returned back from the query itself, which is one of the input parameters to that callback function. And finally, there's some error handling here in case the query, something went wrong in this call, it'll return false to the query documents method, and you can throw an error, which can then be handled by your client code. So that's a very simple case, but it's good to at least see a simple one in action. And those are the basic pieces of the puzzle that we need to satisfy to create one. Again, if you have any interest in this, I would strongly recommend you comb through this document that gives you a lot more insight into how to make this work. including the specifics of how to set everything up so it'll work correctly. And that's pretty much all I wanted to say about DocumentDB in total. And so let's go ahead and move on, and we'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you.